All right, the book of Acts, please, chapter 1, and this is just going to be for a second here, and then we're going to turn to another passage of scripture over in the Gospel of Luke. But in verse 1 of chapter 1, the book of Acts, and don't forget now that the Gospel of Luke was written by who? Luke, exactly right. That was not a trick question. And then the book of Acts, which is the history book of the New Testament, was written by Luke, all right? So the same man wrote the two books that I'm going to read from this morning, so keep that in mind. Verse 1, the former treatise, speaking of the Gospel of Luke, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Now watch this. To whom also he showed, what's the next word? Himself. He showed himself alive after his passion, after his death and burial, after his passion by many, not a couple, but many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. All right, so what we see here is Luke telling us that the Lord Jesus himself gave several infallible proofs to the fact of the resurrection. You see, folks, we're not dreaming this up, all right? There is, of course, biblical evidence of the resurrection, which is good enough for me, because I just happen to believe the Bible is the Word of God. But then there is also historical evidence. I mean, history, the men that wrote during that period of time told us that Christ was not in that grave. They could not find his body, and that he was seen by all these people. All these people, they give testimony to the fact that multitudes of people saw the Lord Jesus Christ after he resurrected from the grave. All right, now go back to the Gospel of Luke, please, to chapter 24. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. It's the very last chapter in the Gospel of Luke. All right, look at verse 1, please. Luke chapter 24 and verse 1. Now, upon the first day of the week, which is Sunday, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in, and found, what's the next word? Not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. All right, let's pray real quickly, and then I want to speak on infallible proofs for the resurrection. Keep your Bible open here, if you will, and let's pray first of all and ask the Lord to help us. Father, thank you now for your wonderful word. I pray that you will bless what I'm about to say, and Father, give us understanding of what we hear. I pray the Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts this morning. Father, you know the need of every person in this room, and I just pray that that we will have open hearts and open minds to receive your word this morning. And Father, may it help us today. We live in a world where there is so little hope today. But Father, help us to realize that as Christians, we have what the Apostle Paul calls a blessed hope. And that blessed hope is that our Savior is coming again. So, Father, bless and help us today. In Jesus' name, amen. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead is fundamental to Christianity. I have told you in the past that I have a few issues with Easter, all right? I have a few issues with that, all the sideline stuff. I have a few problems with that. But I certainly do not have any problem at all with the resurrection. I believe that we come to church on Sunday in order to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every Sunday out of the year is a celebration of our resurrected Savior. But my problem with Easter is that it seems to have become established in our minds that Easter is only to be celebrated on one Sunday out of the year in March or in April, when the truth is we celebrate the resurrection 52 times in a year. Every Sunday is really an Easter Sunday. It is the resurrection on the first day of the week, of every week, that first day of the week is the day of the Lord. It's the day of the Lord. Now, in Luke's other book that he wrote, the book of Acts, we have Luke telling us that he was going to, that he had already written about all that Jesus did and taught when he was here for 33 and a half years on this earth. So Luke tells us that first book, which is the Gospel of Luke, has all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. And now he says in Acts chapter 1 that this next book that he is about to write, which became the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. And he said this book is to show what the Lord Jesus continues to do in our lives and through those that that he calls alongside of himself, the folks that preach, the folks that teach, the folks that serve, the folks that give. I mean, on and on and on. He's talking about all of us and what we have and contributed to the cause of Christ. And folks, that work is still being taking place today. It's still happening today. So Luke's other book here shows us what the Lord Jesus is continuing to do after he had resurrected from the grave. We are told by Dr. Luke here that the Lord Jesus, after he resurrected, showed himself by many infallible proofs. So if Luke is going to make a claim like that, don't you think he ought to make some effort to back up that claim? Don't you think he ought to give us some of those proofs? Well, I certainly do. I certainly think he should. And I think that is what Luke 24 is all about. He starts talking in verse 1 of chapter 24, which you will notice is the last chapter in the Gospel of Luke. And so it's a long chapter, 53 verses in this chapter. But yet, if you think about it, what we see in this final chapter of Luke's gospel is a list of infallible proofs that Luke gave to back up his claim that Jesus resurrected from the grave. All right, let's look at a couple of them. First of all, I think the first infallible proof here was what happened when these women came to the tomb. All right, now if you look down at verse 10 of Luke 24, you will see that it was Mary Magdalene, it was Joanna, and it was Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. All right, so there's not just one woman that came to the tomb. There were several. There were several. There were several of them who showed up early in the morning, and they came to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus with spices. And so early in the morning, another of the Gospels tells us that it was as the sun was coming up. So it's real early in the morning. And what did they find? Well, their testimony is that they found the grave empty. The Lord Jesus was not there. Now, folks, wait a minute. These women assisted the soldiers in putting his body in that grave. All right, understand that. They knew that his body was carried into that grave. They were the ones who wrapped the swaddling clothes around his deceased body. And they knew that he had been placed in that tomb. There was no doubt in their mind. But notice, there's not just one that tells the story, he is risen. No, wasn't just Mary Magdalene. It wasn't just Joanna. No, there were several ladies who came running back to the apostles who were probably in the upper room still, scared to death. And they told them that he is not in the tomb. The tomb is empty. That's their testimony. Not just one, but at least three that are called by name. And by the way, under Jewish law, three is more than enough to make a point, to validate a statement. All right? If you have three people that will testify to the same thing, a court will take that as the truth. And so here are three by name, and then it says, and others. So how many are included in the others, we don't know, but it means others. So here are several ladies, and they are giving testimony that the grave was empty and Jesus was not there. You see, once inside, they did see two men. Look at your Bible. Look, please, in verse 4, it says that they were much perplexed that the tomb was empty, but it says, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Shining garments. Now, I have taught our church on Wednesday nights in our study of the Bible on Wednesday nights. I have taught our church that it's my personal opinion that these two men who appeared were the same two that appeared at the Transfiguration. And who was that? That was Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah. And think about that. I honestly believe with all my heart that it was Moses and Elijah who showed up to announce that Jesus had risen from the dead. Now, if it was Moses and Elijah, and I believe it was, but if it was Moses and Elijah, then that would be the second time here in our text. That would be the second time they showed up, and the subject that they were discussing was our Lord's decease, his death. Do you remember at the Transfiguration, we are told in Luke 9, verse 30 and 31, it says, "And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spake with him of his decease." That's his death. And so if it's Moses and Elijah who showed up at the tomb in verse 4 and spoke to the women, then that would be the second time that Moses and Elijah showed up and the subject at hand was our Lord's death. Nod your heads. Do you see that? All right, but now wait a minute. There is a third time. And remember, three is the number of completion in the Bible. All right, there is a third time when two men showed up, and that's in Acts chapter 1, where the Lord Jesus was going back to heaven in the ascension, and the disciples were standing there looking up and watching him go. And the Bible says, and two men, doesn't say two angels, it says, and two men stood by. You remember the Lord Jesus said the angels are neither male nor female. So two men stood there. I personally believe it's Moses and Elijah again. And so here is our resurrected Lord going back to heaven, and that's the third time they show up. Amazing, isn't it? It's amazing how the Bible just goes together and how one part complements another part. And so two men stood by them, and I think these two men were Moses and Elijah. And that would have been the third time. And don't forget, three is the number of completion in the Scriptures. God is Father, Son, and Spirit, and these three are complete. One. Yes. Yes. All right. Now, look at verse 7 here in Luke 24. Verse 7 says, "The two men reminded the ladies of what Jesus had said to them earlier up in Galilee, up along the Sea of Galilee." As a matter of fact, listen, folks, there are some 11 times in the four Gospels, all right? 11 times in the four Gospels where it is recorded that the Lord Jesus himself spoke of his death in Jerusalem and of his resurrection from the dead on the third day. So in verse 9 and 10, these ladies ran back, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James. I think you can see Mary was a popular name back in Bible times, right? Okay? I mean, just about all of them named Mary, seems like. But of course, that's an exaggeration, but you get the point. And it says that they came to the disciples and told them, the apostles, in verse 10, and then in verse 11, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. They believed them not. Wow. I mean, come on, guys. I'm sure that if one of them was as sarcastic as I am, they would have said, "Guys, would you get with the program here? You know, come on." But they thought, this is crazy. This is nuts. You say, "Pastor, why do you think that they didn't believe them?" Well, I think it's simple. We've all gone to the cemetery too many times, haven't we? And never does anybody ever come out of a grave. All right? When you're dead, you're dead. And that's it. And so here now they're saying that Jesus is not there. He's resurrected. He's not there just as he said. Well, it kind of threw them a little bit. And so Luke adds, by many infallible proofs, Jesus taught that he had resurrected. So proof number one was that these ladies who came to the tomb found the tomb empty, and the first thing they did was run to the apostles to spread the word that Christ had resurrected. So there's proof number one, these ladies, not just one, several. All right? Look now at verse 12, it says, Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulcher. So Peter comes now, and what does he find? Same thing, an empty tomb. And so Peter stooped down and went inside. And when he got in there, he saw the linen clothes laid by themselves, verse 12, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Wow. Peter went in and saw. So there's another testimony, the Apostle Peter. All right, then there's a third one. The third one is a rather lengthy story in the middle of this chapter. And the third infallible proof was the events that happened on the Emmaus Road. You see, there was a road that went from Jerusalem to this little village called Emmaus. And it was about 7.5 miles from Jerusalem. One of the couples who were in Jerusalem, who saw the whole thing, they were no doubt disciples of the Lord, they were believers, and they were walking home after the events of the week in Jerusalem. And with them, we have another infallible proof. You see, while they were walking home, the risen Savior joined up with them and walked with them. And it occurred to me that there are, you know, just some situations where only the Lord Jesus Christ himself will do. And that's exactly what happened here. The Lord Jesus himself showed up to explain what happened to these two disciples. And you'll notice that Luke adds that these two disciples were divinely kept from recognizing the Lord Jesus Christ. They were divinely prevented from recognizing the Lord Jesus. Now, notice also, here's an amazing thing. Only one of the two disciples is named. Only one. And you look at your Bible, all right? Look at your Bible. It says in verse 18, and one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering and said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which were come to pass there these days? So in other words, folks, look at me. Cleopas knew what happened, didn't he? Huh? Sure. Cleopas knew what happened. And so they were divinely kept from recognizing Jesus. And only one is named. You know who Cleopas, that's a man's name. And the unnamed one, I think, is Mrs. Cleopas. I mean, it stands to reason, doesn't it? I'm sure she wasn't called Mrs. Cleopas. That was his first name. All right? But I think that they were husband and wife, and they were walking along, and Jesus asked them, why are you so sad? And they said, well, where have you been? I mean, are you a stranger in these parts? Have you not heard about all the things that have happened concerning Jesus? Well, they certainly knew about all of it. They understood it all. And then the Lord listened to their sad unbelief. And then finally, in verse 25, look at verse 25. The Lord said, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses, in other words, the book of Genesis, all right? Who wrote Genesis? Moses. Who wrote Exodus? Moses. Who wrote the other three books of the Torah? Moses, exactly. So going back to the beginning of the Torah and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Wow. Wouldn't you have liked to have been in on that Bible study? That would have been awesome, wouldn't it, to have none other than the Lord Jesus himself. By the way, it's the Lord Jesus who is the subject of this entire book. You take Jesus and the resurrection and out of the Bible, my soul, what do you have? Nothing. It all crumbles. It all crumbles. And so, what do we see here? Well, we see that the Lord Jesus himself spoke up and told these disciples. So what did they do? Well, when they got close, look at verse 28. When they got close to their home, they said, well, we're home. You want to come in and have supper with us? And the Lord Jesus said, sure. Look at verse 29. They constrained him, saying, abide with us. Abide with us. It is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. Wow. Do you imagine serving the Lord, the resurrected Lord, dinner? I mean, mercy. It says, then, verse 31, their eyes were opened and they knew him and he vanished out of their sight. But notice, their eyes were opened and they knew him. And so they look at one another and their testimony is this: did not our hearts burn within us? Not right there when their eyes were open, but back here as they were making the trek to their home and listening to the Savior teach the infallible Word of God. Did not our hearts burn within us? Well, I reckon it would. My goodness. While he opened to us the Scriptures. All right, now watch. What'd they do? They rose up that same hour. Now remember, it's evening, and it doesn't say that they went ahead and ate, so probably in their excitement, they just got up and ran. And where'd they go? Back to Jerusalem. Why? Because they had a message. They had a proof. They had something to say. And so they went running back to the apostles. And they came into the room and they told the apostles, saying, verse 34, look at this. He, the Lord, is risen indeed. Risen indeed. Isn't that something? They found the 11. You remember Judas had committed Harry Carey. He was no longer there. All right. And in verse 34, the Lord is risen indeed. Wow. So there's another infallible proof. They had a story. listen, they told, verse 35, what things were done in the way. They sat there and rejoiced. Remember, their minds have now been opened. Their eyes have now been opened. They know the scriptures frontwards and backwards now, and they are so excited telling the 11, all about what Jesus had taught them as they walked in the way. There's another infallible proof. All right? Amazing, isn't it? Folks, do you actually think that they would have turned around and walked back for 7.5 more miles in the dark if what they experienced was not real? No, sir. Amazing, isn't it? So there's another infallible proof. They went back. Let me say it this way. They went back because what they experienced was real. Amen. It was real. The Lord is risen indeed. All right, and then lastly, the last infallible proof here was the Lord Jesus himself appearing. Look at verse 36. It says, and as they spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. Now look at that. Look at that again. And as they thus spake, Jesus, what's the next word? Himself. Himself. What was their reaction? Look at it. Verse 37. They supposed that they had seen a spirit, a ghost. You know, spooky stuff. No, you haven't seen a ghost. It's me, Jesus said. It's me. The Lord is risen indeed. Folks, listen, it doesn't get any better than that, does it? Can you imagine you're sitting in that upper room listening to these two, Cleopas and his wife, and then all of a sudden the Lord Jesus appears in the room. He didn't come through a door. He didn't come through a window. No, he just showed up and boom, there he was. He's alive. That's the point. That's the point. He's alive. Well, I just thought of something else. All right, hurry. Look at verse, would this be 4A? I don't know. Let's make it 5, all right? Look at verse 44. There's another infallible truth. Watch this. And he said unto them, these are the words which I, what's the next word? Spake. Is that past tense? That is, isn't it? That's past tense. These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. That, what's the next word? All. I wonder what all means. It means all. Yes. That all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Hey, folks, listen. I'll close with this. The last infallible proof is found in verse 44. And that, in my opinion, is the greatest infallible proof that there is. And that infallible proof is that in Christ, all of the Old Testament prophets, psalmists, prophecies, all of it was fulfilled in Him. In Him. All the types, all the pictures, I mean, everything was fulfilled in Him. And now the Lord Jesus is standing right there in front of them, and He is the fulfillment of all of the scriptures. Look at verse 45. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Now they get it. Now they get it. You see, it was the fulfillment of all of those prophecies and all of those pictures and all of those promises of the Old Testament. They're all now fulfilled in Christ. Folks, do you not remember what the Lord Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount? He said, I am not come to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill. But to fulfill. Isn't that awesome? And boy, when they realized that Jesus was the fulfillment of the scripture, mercy. That's all they needed. They believed from that point on. Jesus said, till heaven and earth shall pass away, one jot or one tittle. You know what a jot is? It's like the period over a small I. All right? Dot. It's like, what's a tittle? Well, a tittle's, it's the same thing. It's just a mark. It's just a mark. A grammatical mark. And Jesus said, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law until all be fulfilled. And there he was standing right there in the midst of them and was the fulfillment of it all. And he gave them understanding of the scriptures. And folks, that is why they could go out and take the gospel unto the uttermost parts of the earth. That's why they could do it. Because they were convinced. They were convinced. Now, how about you, dear friend? How about you? You been convinced? I mean, many infallible proofs. And Luke gives us a whole chapter here just full of them, doesn't he? This happened, that happened, this happened, that happened. Yeah, proof. So if I, you know, Thomas, well, if I can't see the nail prints in his hand and the nail prints in his feet and the scar in his side, a hole in his side, if I can't see that, I'm not going to believe. Well, the Lord Jesus comes and holds his hands out. And what's we call him Doubting Thomas. Don't call him that when you get to heaven, okay? He's liable to punch you in the nose. But Jesus stuck his hands out, and when he did, Thomas fell on his face, and he cried, my Lord and my God. Hey, what's it going to take to prove to you that Jesus is the living Savior? Let's bow our heads, please. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed for just a moment. Let's pray right now. Father, thank you for the Word of God. And I pray that you will bless this to our hearts today. Give us understanding of your Word. Help us to realize that we serve a living Savior. And Father, that Savior was crucified on the cross to pay our sin debt. He died. The wages of sin is death. And Jesus paid our debt. He died. And they buried him. Well, that's what you do when someone dies. You bury them. And then the amazing thing is, on the third day, of his own accord, he came out of that tomb. Resurrected, alive, victorious. And now, Father, that resurrection is the foundation upon which we believe that Jesus is who he claimed to be. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Paul said, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So, Father, help us to examine our hearts this morning. Now, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I want you to examine yourself this morning in the light of what you've heard. Dear friend, listen. There's a God in heaven who loves you and wants you to trust Him. And you do that by putting your faith and trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the amazing thing is there are people all over this world, and they think you got to do this, or you got to do that, or you got to join this, or you got to belong to that. No, the Bible says that salvation is by grace, through faith. All you and I need to do is believe. That's what faith is, believing. All you and I need to do is believe the fact that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. It's that simple. You just trust Jesus. Not the church, not me. I can't save you, but Jesus can. Now, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let me ask you a personal question, all right? Nobody looking around, just you, me, and God. How many of you will say, Pastor, I know that I'm saved. I've trusted the Lord Jesus as my Savior, and I know that I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand and testify to that truth? Say, Pastor, I know, there is no doubt about it. And if I died right now, I'm going to heaven, and I know that I'm saved. I know it. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, folks. You may put your hands down. Now, our heads are bowed, please. Christians, you be praying. If you're here this morning and you could not raise your hand, you say, Preacher, I just don't know for sure. Well, can I tell you, you can know for sure? You really can. The Bible is very clear on that. These things write we unto you that ye may know that you have eternal life. You can know that you have eternal life. Now, if you could not raise your hand with everyone else, could I ask you to let me pray for you and ask God to help you? I won't embarrass you. Nobody's going to know who you are, just you, me, and God. But I want you to know I'd like to pray for you. You say, Pastor, I'm not 100% sure. Pray for me, would you? Would you hold your hand up right now and let me pray and ask God to help you? You say, Preacher, I'm just not 100% sure. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand? Anybody like that this morning? Pastor, I'm just not 100% sure. Be honest with yourself, with God, with me. Preacher, pray for me. I'm just not 100% sure. All right, Father in heaven, thank you for your word, and I pray you'll bless your word to our hearts today. Father, we thank you for the simplicity of the gospel. And thank you, Father, for the opportunity that we have to hear it this morning. And I pray that you'll bless it to every heart. Father, you know who needs to be saved and who doesn't. So, Father, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts today. I pray that you'll draw all of us closer to you. Wouldn't be a better opportunity than right here, right now, this morning, to trust Christ before it's too late. So, Father, bless your word in Jesus' name. Amen.